to go to the Old Testament with me, all the way to the book of Genesis, chapter number 27. Genesis chapter number 27 in one hand, and get Genesis 33 in the other. Get both of these texts here just a few chapters apart. And I want you to hang with me in this introductory portion of the message so that I can try and build this foundation to get to what the Lord has put on my heart tonight for you and for I. Genesis chapter number 27 and Genesis chapter number 33. Genesis 27, we find the story of Jacob the supplanter, Jacob the deceiver. Jacob, at this point in Bible chronology, is a very young man, still living at home with his nearly blind daddy Isaac and his mother Rebekah. And in the story we find, we'll just begin in verse number 1, and we'll kind of hop and skip down through the text to get across what I'm trying to get to you here. Genesis 27, verse number 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. We'll jump several verses down to verse number 18. You know what happens in the meantime. Rebekah, his wife, has heard what he told Esau, and her favorite in the family is Jacob. And so she runs to Jacob and says, you hurry up, put on some of your brother's clothes. We'll put some hair on your hands and on your neck. We'll make you feel like your brother. Your daddy's half blind anyway, he can't see. He'll never know the difference. I'll make goat meat. You take it in there, and we'll steal the blessing. We'll get you that great blessing that went from God to Abraham, Abraham to Isaac. Isaac's going to pass it to somebody, and then it's going to go on beyond that. Verse number 18 said this, and he came, speaking of Jacob, he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, that I pray thee that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. Here's this word again that's our key word tonight over and over. So he blessed him. The Bible says again over and over down through here, verse 27, that you smell like a field, the Lord's blessed. We get to verse 29, and he says, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. Well, Jacob steals the blessing. He gets out, and notice Isaac comes back, or Esau comes back to Isaac. Look down at verse 34. When Jacob runs out, Esau comes back, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Here we find early in Jacob's immature life, don't miss this tonight, early in Jacob's immature life, all he wants is for others to bless him. What you'll find about Jacob's early life is it's all about him. It's not about anybody else, it's just all about him. He doesn't care what he's got to do to get what he wants. He just wants what he wants. We even find one chapter prior to chapter 27 that his brother Esau comes out of the field. He's thirsting to death. He's starving to death. And Jacob is sitting there. And the Bible said he sawed pottage. In other words, he's boiling beans. And the Bible said he come and he said, "Hey, man, I'm your brother. Give me some of these beans." And Jacob says, "I'll give you these beans. I'll save your life. I'll help you." He said, "But first, you got to give me your birthright. You got to give me what was given to you because you're the oldest." And Esau said, "Well, it ain't doing me no good if I'm dead. Here, you can have my birthright. Just give me the beans." Here we find in Jacob's life, it doesn't matter who he's got to hurt to get what he wants. It's just all about him. Let me just pause right here and say this. The sure sign of an immature person is selfishness. An immature person, spiritually or physically, is this. The sign is they want what they want, and they don't care what they got to do to get it. Doesn't matter who they hurt. Doesn't matter what has to happen, so long as they get the blessing that they are after. But I want you to notice something with me tonight. Don't miss this. You missed the whole message. Chapter 27 is the last time that Jacob and Esau lay eyes on each other since Jacob stole his blessing. Watch the next time that they meet, six chapters later, chapter 33. Six chapters later, chapter number 33. Jacob is coming back home. He's been in exile in the land of his mother with his uncle Laban. He's been married now multiple times, got a pile of youngins, and God's blessed his life. Now he's coming back to see Esau again, the man he stole from. Verse number 1, chapter 33, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him. Man, this is a blessing. This almost looks like Luke 15, the prodigal son story. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Come all the way down, if you would, to verse number 8. Esau says, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" Jacob had sent ahead a bunch of cattle, horses and beasts and sheep to try and appease Esau's wrath. And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present in my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me." Watch it, verse 11. Watch. "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Do you notice the difference from the young Jacob in Genesis 27 to the older Jacob in Genesis chapter 33? The Jacob in Genesis 27, he's all about, "Bless me, give me, bless me, give me the birthright, give me the blessing. And I don't care what I got to do, don't care who I got to lie to, don't care who I got to cheat from, just bless me." But we find he shows back up in Genesis 33, and he's not looking to get a blessing, he wants to give a blessing this evening. He's not trying to get the blessing for himself. He wants to be a blessing to someone else. You know what I found out when I began to study the life of Jacob from this point forward? Don't miss this. From this point forward, you study it yourself and look the word bless, blessing, blessed, and all that. You know what you find from this point forward, Genesis 33 forward? Jacob never asks for another blessing. But over and over and over, he is blessing other people. In Genesis chapter 48, the Bible said when he come down into Egypt with his son Joseph, the Bible said that Jacob blessed Pharaoh two times. Then we find the Bible says that Jacob blesses the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. Then we find in chapter 49 that Jacob blesses Joseph himself. And then we find in chapter 49 or 50 that he ends up blessing all of his sons. I mean, from this point point forward, Jacob turns into a blessing factory. He's just blessing everybody. Everybody he comes in contact with, he's a blessing. Everybody that gets around him, he's a blessing. No longer is he the leech that tries to take all the blessing. No longer is he the thief that's trying to steal all the blessing. But everybody God lets his path cross, he's a blessing. Everybody that meets Jacob from here on out says, that guy was a blessing in my life. That guy was a blessing in my life. I mean, he's just blessing everybody. And this evening, I'd like to preach for a few minutes on this subject. I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Or maybe you could title this, Lord, make me a blessing this evening. Y'all listen to me. Here's the message, and we're going to look at it. Something, Brother Fields, changes between chapter 27 of Genesis and chapter 33. Something happens in these six chapters that turns Jacob from a selfish, immature individual who is only living to be blessed himself to turning, and now his whole life is about being a blessing to others. It sounds to me like he has learned the principle that the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20. You say, what is that principle? Paul said the principle was learned by the Lord, and it was this: it is more blessed to give than to... Got Bible readers in the house. You know what it's saying? You're going to get a bigger blessing by given a blessing than trying to get a blessing. You know what I found in my life? If I'll try and be a blessing to someone, God will take me trying to be a blessing, turn it around, and make that a blessing to me this evening. I find so many Christians live their Christian life in an immature state. It's all about give me a blessing. It's all about bless me if you can. Bless me. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's about what I want. It's about what helps me. But I'm telling you, what would revolutionize your church experience, what would revolutionize your Christian walk experience, what would revolutionize your walk with God is if you started saying, Lord, I'm not looking for a blessing. I'm looking to be the blessing. God, work through my life so that I can be a help and a blessing to someone else this evening. So tonight I'm preaching on, Lord, make me a blessing. What will it take? What do we find between chapters 27 and 33? From chapter 27, him saying, give me the blessing, to chapter 33, where he says, no, just take the blessing. I'm not trying to get one. I want to give one. What changes? Something radically changes. What will it take for the Lord to make your life a blessing? Now, if you're not interested in being a blessing, just tune out here for the next 25 minutes or so. I'll be done real quick, and I'll send you to the house, okay? But if you're interested, sister, if you're interested, brother, if you're interested, young person, in being a blessing, God using your life so that somebody down the road points at you and says, thank God for that person. They were a blessing to me. Now mark this down. Pause. Let me just say this before I give you my little points. You can't be a blessing if you are a hermit. Well, I don't like to be around people. I don't want to be around people. Well, you'll never be a blessing. I'm not saying you got to become something you don't want to be, become some extrovert overnight. What I am saying is you're going to have to be around people to be a blessing to people. There are people in here, listen to me, there are people in here that they have stepped out of their comfort zone. Why? Because they realized I can't be a blessing if I don't step outside my comfort zone. I think standing here, I think about Brother John Glenn. Brother John Glenn is, he's pretty extroverted if you get to know him, but fact is, Brother John Glenn, he don't like people. Talk to him for a little while, he don't like people. He don't like you. I'm just kidding. But here's a whole lot of young people in here that for the rest of your life, you're going to be able to point back and say, that man, and that one was a blessing in my life. help me in those formative, serious years of 14, 15, 16, 17, those real important years when my life was shaped. They helped keep me between the ditches. They took time with me. They took time out of their life. They took time out of their schedule. You say, what had to happen for that? Somebody had to step out of their comfort zone and say, this is not necessarily what I'm comfortable doing. It's not necessarily what I would choose to do. But I realize this, I can't be a blessing to them youngins if I go lock myself in my shop out yonder on the road out there by the strawberry farm. And mark this down, you ain't gonna be able to be a blessing to somebody if you're just locking yourself away from humanity. Y'all, wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could all just go build us our own little personal compound somewhere, lock the world away, hide from Biden, hide from everybody, and just live with our four and no more? Yeah, man, that sounds like paradise. But then I get to thinking, Brother Zander, that ain't the will of God for none of our lives. The will of God for our life is to live among people where we can reach out and affect somebody life for the sake of the gospel and be a blessing in people's lives. And I think to myself, how super cool would it be to go buy me a little place and some acreage up in the mountains or out west somewhere and just go hide from everybody. I think, man, praise God. But y'all, how am I supposed to be a blessing to people in the ministry God's called me into if I run off out yonder in the woods and hide somewhere? You read about Elijah. You read about Elijah over there. He run off in the woods and wanted to get away from everybody. He said, it's enough. Just get me away from everybody. I'm tired of everybody. And God come found him out there in his spot right by himself and said, get out this cave. Get out these woods. There are people you need to be a blessing to. Get on back out yonder. Amen. Get off your pity party. Get off your depression kick and run back out yonder because somebody needs you to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm preaching tonight on, Lord, make me a blessing. What will it take? Number one, it will take time. You know how much time elapses between Genesis 27 and Genesis 33? It tells you in the scripture. Look at chapter 31, verse 38. Watch chapter 31, verse 38. Watch what your text says. Chapter 31, verse 38. Jacob tells us how long he was away from home. How long between chapter 37 and chapter 33? Chapter 31, verse 38. This 20 years have I been with thee. Jacob says, 20 years, Brother Travis, have elapsed since he was the immature, selfish, give me the blessing to the older, more seasoned. I want to be a blessing. I want y'all to all understand something tonight. There are no shortcuts to God making your life a blessing. I wish there were shortcuts, Brother Mike Hyde, where you could just, you know, start out here in the Christian life and all of a sudden just shortcut and bam, you're way over here. But it don't work that way. You know how to get from there where Jacob was to over here where Jacob is? You got to walk with God for a while. I know we live in this day. We all want this ready-made, microwave, Pop-Tart, pow, bam, boom, there it is, Christianity. We watch some Christians who have walked with God for 20, 30, 40 years. And we think after walking with God for 1, 2, or 3, or 4, or 5 years, bam, that's what I'm going to be that overnight. No. It takes time for God to work on our life, knock away rough edges on our life, do something in our life to try and get us to where we can be a blessing. I want y'all to understand something. God is not in a hurry, even if you are. You ain't gonna rush God. You know what I found out when you start trying to rush God? God will dig his heels in and slow down. God is like my wife when she's getting ready and I rush her. The process slows down exponentially. Brother Roger, I found out if I just drop hints every once in a while, but just stay out the room and stay away. She'll get done a little bit faster. But if I'm constantly in there, we got to go, it's time to go, we got 5 minutes, it'll probably slow down the process. Best thing I can do is just go chill out, Brother Kevin Steele, for a while and let her do what she's doing. You know the best thing for you to do in your life, if you want your life to be a blessing, just walk with God, rest in the Lord, chill out, and watch God make your life a blessing that He wants to make it this evening. It's going to take time. I find some people want to try and skip parts of the process. Abraham did. Preaching about Abraham this morning. Abraham did. We find, Brother Dan, that Abraham, God comes and tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child, seed, as the stars of the heaven, sand on the seashore. Abraham says, boy, hot diggity, praise God, amen. But God drags his feet. Brother Chad, God don't get it done fast. God lingers and God waits, and Sarah still ain't pregnant. Lord, you said this, but you're taking a long time. Tell you what I'll do. I'll help you out. We got this old gal, Hagar. She's our servant. And old Sarah and Abraham, they hatched him a plan. Look here, she'll be the surrogate mother. You go in unto Hagar, and she'll give us children. Bad choice. One of the hardest things you'll ever learn to do in life is waiting on God. You say it ain't hard. Ask Mary and Martha if it's hard waiting on God when you're in a hurry. Ask Jairus if it's hard to wait on God when you're in a hurry to get something done. It's not easy, but I find it takes time. I want all you young men and young ladies to listen to me, especially you young men and young ladies who are unmarried. And you young men who have ideas for ministry, don't skip steps along the way because you're in a hurry. I know some of you young fellows, y'all full of fire and vinegar, and good, you ought to be at this age. I hope you stay full of fire and vinegar. Preach a paint off a wall, study, pray, prepare, get the hand of God on your life, hang people over hell, shake them, I mean the whole bit. Knock yourself out. I'm for you. Ain't nobody in this building a bigger cheerleader for you than I am. You know that. I'm in your corner 1,000%. But listen to me, fellas. Take it from somebody who's been where you are. Don't skip steps along the way. I have watched boys that skip steps along the way, jump where they shouldn't have jumped to, and they got that because I got to hurry. It's leaving me behind. The ministry's moving. It's not leaving you behind. Hey, girls, don't just jump into a relationship because you think life's leaving you behind. How many young people have I seen? They skipped the step of courtship, where you find out who this person is. Skip the step of score. Look, we're just going to jump courtship. Takes too much time. We're going to jump marriage. Takes too much time. And we're just going to jump into bed. And then you're just going to jump into parenthood. And you're neither equipped nor ready for it. And then it sets you back. Then the time clock is set back. Now you're struggling through things you should not have to be struggling through because you didn't want to wait on God. I want God to use me as a mother. He will. Wait on His timing. I want God to use me as a father. He will. Wait on His timing. I want God to use me in the ministry. He will. Wait on His timing. I want God to use my life. He will. Just give Him time. We have one of our young preachers in the church, two of them, matter of fact, two young preachers in our church, that recently, in the last year or so, they've both preached at different churches, Brother Skip, and one church, these boys are still teenagers, mind you, and at one church, they came up and said, hey, we need an assistant pastor at our church, still a teenager, 18 years old. Said, we need an assistant pastor. You preach real good. How about you coming over here and being an assistant pastor? And thankfully, we have teenage boys that's got more sense than adults do. Them people offering that stuff ain't got the sense God gave the south end of a northbound mule. Run that through your mind. I said what I meant and meant what I said. And offer him the assistant pastor position. I'm not saying he won't be equipped and qualified to be that one day. But take some time to learn, train, walk with God, and let God put you in that. We have another young man in the church. Not long ago, he was preaching at a church, and they're without a pastor, and they just flat come to him and said, "Hey, would you consider being our pastor?" Thankfully, he had enough sense to look at him and say, "I'm still a novice. And I'm sitting under my pastor and learning." No. Listen to me. I have no doubt. I've prayed over all these young boys' lives. And I still pray over their lives. There ain't nobody in this building that prays over you young men more than I do. I am your biggest supporter. I want God to elevate you, advance you. But listen to me. And God's going to use you, fellas. God's going to put you in a ministry somewhere. God's going to give you a church to pastor or an assistant position or a missionary job or evangelist. I know he is. I know he is. But you got to wait on God's time. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. Great. That's great. But give God time to do it. Brother Keith, Brother Buster Kinsey was here Thursday night, and he was teaching our institute. I don't know if any of y'all went over there and listened to that, but you should. It's real good. He preached on the making of a minister. And he said this, Brother Randy, and I never thought about it like this. He said, you realize when you read about God creating the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1, that the Bible said it took God 6 literal 24-hour days to do what he wanted to do. Brother James, it took him 5 days to make moon, stars, planets, wildlife, vegetation, oceans, all that stuff. And then on the 6th day, he made man. Now listen to me. I think of it like this. This is what he was saying. If I'm God, Brother Heath, do y'all not believe with me that if God wanted to, he could have just pow? And not in a 24-hour period, not in a 6-day period, but I mean in like a finger snap, pow, God could have made it all just like that. But he didn't. God took his time. And he made man last. Hurry up, God, do it. Hurry up, do it. No, I'm going to take my time. Why? That's the nature of God. You say, I ain't got much time. I ain't got much time. You got as much as God wants you to have. And God, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes, he maketh all things beautiful in his time. His time. Lord, make me a blessing. What will it take to be a blessing? It'll take time. What will it take for God to make us a blessing? Secondly, not only will it take time, it will take testings and trouble. This is the step none of us like, but this is what it takes for God to make us a blessing. It will take testing and trouble. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, we find that Jacob runs from Esau, and in chapter 28, watch what your Bible said in verse number 10. Chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. It's a dark place. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down to sleep. It's a rocky place. Here we find there is a place of testing and trouble between chapter 27 and chapter 33. How could Jacob become a blessing? Because he's gone through some trouble. He's gone through some dark nights. He's gone through some rocky places. Y'all listen to me. Nothing will conform you more to the image of Christ, and nothing will help you be a blessing in somebody else's life anymore than when you personally go through times of darkness, rockiness, trouble, and testing. You know what makes Jesus such a great high priest? What makes Jesus such a great high priest, Brother Cliff, is the Bible said he was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet without sin.
He took upon him the form of a servant. He took on flesh. He knows what we go through. He's been in the dark night. He's been through the rough, rocky night. He's been through the doorway of death. He's been through suffering. He's been through betrayal from a friend. He's been through loss. He's been through hunger and thirst. He's been through storms of life. And because of that, he is able to help you. How are you supposed to help someone else and you're supposed to be a blessing to someone else if God never lets your life run into rough, rocky, dark times? Amen. Trouble and testing. Watch more of his trouble. He's got a lot of trouble between chapter 27 and chapter 33. Watch his other trouble. Look at chapter number 29. Chapter 29. We find he gets down there to Laban's country, and when he gets down there, he lays eyes on the boss's daughter. I think there's a country song about that. They probably got it out of Genesis 29. Verse 16, chapter 29, verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. Oh, trouble's fixing to brew in paradise right here, y'all. Lord Jesus, trouble. Two girls, one man equals a whole lot of trouble. Yes, sir. Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. You say, what's that mean? That means she weren't much to look at. So what I mean? That means like Brother Charlie, that means like Andy and Barney kept telling Gomer about that cousin of Helen's that they kept trying to set Gomer up with. Gomer kept saying, is she pretty? Oh, she's nice. But is she pretty? She's so nice. Oh, Jacob says, is Leah pretty? And Laban says, she's real nice, Jacob. Leah was tender-eyed. Verse 17, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy daughter. And you know what happened? Let me just say this before I read the rest of this. Be sure your sin will find you out. Brother Danny, Jacob runs up against someone. Jacob's slick. Now, Jacob's slick. He knows how to undercut and undermine. He's slick. Got the birthright, got the blessing. He's slick. Fitting to get the girl. He ends up running up against an old man that's a little slicker than he is. Youth and exuberance are no match for age and treachery. Remember that, fellas. Don't get in an argument with an old man. Don't get in a fight with an old man. They don't fight fair. They don't argue fair. Don't fight an old man. They won't roll around in the dirt with you. They'll cut you or shoot you. They won't. They won't. They too old to roll around in the dirt with you. You'll end up dead. Or your guts hanging out. I'm just telling you. Ask Mike Udy. He tried John Glenn. Mike, you working the camera up there? Say amen. Anyways, you'd have had to been there to see that. That was really something. You know what happens? Laban tricks him. He works 7 years for Rachel. And then watch what happens. The Bible said, verse number 22, Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Verse 25, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what in the world did you do to me? I mean, you say, how'd this go down? I don't know, evidently it was dark, veil on her face. But he wakes up that morning, he's, good morning, babe. Ah! It's just real, y'all. Keeping it real. I mean, anyways. What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou begotten me? Man, you done old swaparoo on me. I was wanting Rachel. You done give me Leah. You say, how is this going to make his life a blessing? Because Jacob is at this point, Brother Mark, he's saying, I didn't want this. I had my life planned this way. I had my goals this way. And I wanted the beautiful thing in my life. I wanted something beautiful in my life. And I'd be doggone if God didn't give me something ugly. Yeah. Isn't that how we all are? Lord, we want only beautiful things in our life. We want good health, and we want good finances, and we don't want no trouble, and we want our kids to turn out right, and we've got everything planned out, and we can see the path, and we can see it work, but somewhere down the road through course and process of time, Brother Greg, it just doesn't turn out the way we thought. The ugly things get mixed in, and things happen that we didn't see coming, and we say, God, this is not what I prayed for. God, this is not what I thought was going to be. God, this is not what I expected. God, I feel like I've been done wrong. You say, why is God allowing these things to come in my life? Because he's going to make you a blessing. You say, what kind of things? Broken home, that's ugly. But God can use it to make you a blessing. Divorce, that's an ugly thing. But God can turn it around and make you a blessing. Death is an ugly thing. But God can use it to make you a blessing. Cancer is a terrible thing. But God can use it to make you a blessing. Wayward children is a heartbreak of a mom and daddy's life, but God can use it to make you a blessing. Listen to me. Don't quit on God in the midst of the process. Don't get mad at God in the midst of the process. Let the potter grab a hold of the clay and let God mold you and make you even through the trouble and the trials and testings of life. Say, I just wasn't expecting this, God. It's like the young fella getting in the ministry, and he prayed and prayed and said, Lord, give me a big church and a little wife. God, give me a big church and a little wife. And about 20 years down the road, he looked back on his prayers and he said, Lord, I think you've got dyslexia. You got my prayer backwards. Give me a big wife and a little church. I found that God answers prayers different than we think he ought to answer them. Why does he do this? He's trying to make us a blessing. I promise you, you ain't never going to be a blessing to others if you let your life run the course that you think it should the whole way through. Got so much more I could say there. I don't got time. I want to get to this last one. I'm done. What will it take for God to make me a blessing? Time, testing, and trouble. And lastly, it'll take a touch. Don't miss this. This is the best thing I had to hold. Go with me, if you would, to chapter number 32. Chapter 32. While you're turning there, let me tell you this. Listen to what I'm saying while you're turning to chapter 32, talking about a touch. God shows up more in Jacob's life during his trouble and his testing than at any other point in Jacob's entire life. Say, what do you mean by that? Chapter number 28, God shows up standing above a ladder. Chapter 32, verse number 1 and 2, we find the angels of God meet Jacob by the way. And later in chapter 32, what we're about to look at, we find Jacob actually wrestles with the angel of the Lord. Jacob sees more of God during his troubles and his testings than at any other point in his life. Y'all listen to me. You say, where am I really going to see God at a lot? You're going to see him and experiencing him more in your times of trouble and testing and loneliness than you will when everything's going great. The Bible said the Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken and a contrite spirit. Look at chapter 32. What will it take? Time, trouble, testing, and it will take a touch for God to make us a blessing. Watch what your Bible said in verse number 24 of chapter 32. 32:24. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Watch verse 26. Don't miss it. And he said, let me go. The angel said this. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, watch what Jacob says. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. You know where Jacob's finally got to? The first time Jacob asks for a blessing, he's taking a blessing from his daddy and stealing it from his brother. But the second time Jacob asks for a blessing, he's asking God to bless him. You know what Jacob's figured out? Jacob's figured out, Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need your blessing. Lord, I need your hand. More than I need anybody else blessing me. More than I need anybody else touching me. God, I need your hand, your blessing, and your touch this evening. And watch what happens. He said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God, with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Don't miss this. You know why Jacob could be a blessing from chapter 33 and on? Because he had received the blessing from God in chapter 32. Please don't miss this. You won't never be a blessing to others until you've got alone with God and got God to touch you and bless your life. We can't bless others, Brother Skip, in the power of our flesh. It won't work like it needs to work. The only way to really be a blessing to people is if God has first reached down, touched and blessed your life, and then you can reach out and help and bless somebody else's life. We're only reaching out and being a blessing to others because God has first reached down and been a blessing and a help to us. We're simply giving out. We're simply funnels of God's mercy, funnels of God's grace, that God does something through our life. God does something through our testimony so that we can be a blessing to someone down life's weary road. You know who Jacob is a blessing to in chapter 33? You say, yeah, his brother, Esau. Yeah, but do you realize Esau is his enemy? Esau, the last time they saw each other, said, I'm going to kill you, you pipsqueak. But now Jacob is being a blessing even to his enemy. Some of y'all are hard-pressed to be a blessing to your friends, much less your enemies. Jacob is a blessing to his enemy. How is this possible? Because he's got with God. God's touched and blessed his life. And listen to me. When God touches and blesses your life, you don't give a flip what your enemies think about you. Or what nobody else thinks about you. And you'll try and be a blessing to anyone because you realize I don't deserve what I've received. I've freely been given, so I'm freely going to give. You say, preacher, help me up here, Esther. Say, preacher, I sure want to be a blessing. Good. I hope you do. I hope everybody in here wants to be a blessing. But it's going to take time. And I hate to tell you, it will take trouble. It will take testing. But more than any of that, it's going to take a touch from God. The old song from the Inspiration said this, Lord, as the morning sunbeams brings the hope and light and drives away the shadows lingering from night, your love can do the same if we will let it shine through. And as I go about my day, there's just one thing I want to do. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Just a smile perhaps will do to help them on their way. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today.
Surely tonight you wouldn't be in that Genesis 27 spot where you're just trying to get all the blessing for yourself. Surely tonight we could find ourselves in Genesis 33 and forward where we say, God, help me to be a blessing. It may cost me. It may have to make me step outside my comfort zone. But help me be a blessing to someone. Use my life. Let's all stand tonight. Father, I'm glad that you're looking for candidates. You're looking for folk that want to be a blessing. And you'll use anybody's life. You're not real picky. And I'm glad for that, or you'll never use my life or anyone else's. So God, take our vessels, fill them with yourself and your spirit, and pour them out on a lost and dying, hopeless, helpless, hurting world. And use us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.